This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying of Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 26th. This is episode 710. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world!
I can't take it anymore!
Thank God it's Friday!
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. We hope that you have a wonderful one. It's cooled down a little bit across the country, so it should be a wonderful weekend in the Northeast and everywhere else. I wanted to ask Wendy, by the way, Jamie is out today. She is traveling to, I think, California on baby parade. She's showing off the baby to other relatives this weekend, so she couldn't do today. But we have Wendy back with us. Thank you so much, Dr. Wendy, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I love to come on Horses in the Morning, especially on Fridays.
Well, did you see the video I posted on Facebook this morning? Let me tell everybody about this, and then I have a question for you. So Kevin Rose is a internet entrepreneur. He is a pretty much a billionaire, sold several companies. He started Dig, one of the big websites on the internet, and several others. He now works for Google as one of their partners over at Google. And he's a young guy yet. He's like in his 30s. But he posted this video from his security cameras. And what happened was it was 1 a.m. and he heard his little dog in a commotion down the steps by the patio. And he went and looked, and his dog was in a battle with a raccoon. A raccoon was attacking his dog. So the video is from the security cameras of him running down the steps. He actually is brave enough to pick up the raccoon and throw it down the steps. And then he runs down the steps to chase after it. So that's what the video shows from two different angles. So my question, Wendy, is, you know how nasty raccoons are. Plus, they carry rabies and all kinds of different bug diseases and everything else you can get. By the way, he did get sick for about a week after this. He picked up the raccoon and threw it. Would you be brave enough if it was attacking your dog to pick up the raccoon?
Well, I mean, if they were attacking my dog, I would maybe get a stick or something. I don't know if I would want to touch it with, you know, like to grab it with your hands, because for sure you're going to get bitten. But if it was attacking my baby Tamika, of course I would.
Yeah, I know. That it takes guts. I mean, you know, and it's 1 a.m, so you're barely awake. You know, you're just going on on adrenaline at that point, right? And, you know, I was thinking, grab a baseball bat or a stick, but then you risk hitting your dog, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, it's a 2-second thing. And that dog was really little. So if a lot of injuries to dogs that get into fights like that are neck injuries. So if the raccoon starts shaking it, it could have broken its neck and, you know, right there while the owner was standing there. So he really only did have that one choice.
Yeah, he took a risk because obviously rabies is the biggest thing with raccoons that you worry about. And I forget what percentage. I had read an article one day. It's a high percentage of raccoons have rabies.
Well, it's a high percentage in different areas, so it all depends. Like, this was a city raccoon, so because there's a lot of raccoons that live there's a lot of raccoons that do live in urban areas, because it's easy for them to adapt to living like that. They eat household pets,
garbage.
And garbage. So, depending on I mean, usually the rabies rate for city raccoons are actually a little bit lower than ones that live out in the wild.
I was
And also, this was at nighttime, so ones like a rabid one would be exhibiting like not normal behavior. They're like a bath salt zombie. So they come out in the day, and they're kind of, you know, they're aggressive, but a little bit confused. But this one, I'm sure, when I watched the video, I hate this about raccoons. And like they've adapted to urban environments, and the easiest thing to eat there is household pets.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was mm-hmm. becoming an issue. I guess cats are real.
Yeah, like coyotes. In our area, like you and I both live in subdivisions that are close to open space, but we have small farms. And coyotes love to live in this area because they don't have any predators, and it's so easy to take cats and dogs and backyard chickens.
Yeah, they basically said
not even hunting.
If you have an outdoor cat in our neighborhood, you're not going to have them for long, because between the hawks, the owls, and the coyotes and the raccoons and everything else, your cat has a very slim chance of living any period of time outdoors here.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
We have a ton of hawks, and I know you do. You have eagles in your subdivision. Every time I've been there, I've seen an eagle.
I know. We've had to move the chickens inside. They live in a dog crate on the backyard next to our bedroom, pretty much.
Oh, really? Were they getting attacked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of have a little wildlife hospital back here by the pool. I have a runover turtle, some chickens, the dogs.
Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we'll be heading out west first thing for a live report from the largest horse trials in America, Rebecca Farms. Compliments of Samantha Clark, host of the Eventing Radio Show. And next up, Sammy Jo Stoller, our go-to exotic hooved animal gal, is here with an update on the goings-on at the zoo she calls home, literally. And Bad Ads rises up to the top like a curdled cream today to finalize our Friday horse misadventures. So hi-ho silver, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good show today. My daily whinny goes out to our friends over at the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, run by Trish Lynn. They've been on the show here a number of times. Been on a lot of the shows, actually. We've followed them since the network pretty much started. We've met them in Kentucky, and they're a good group, and they do good things. But I'm giving them a daily whinny today because they have been selected again as one of the 16 groups that are going to be part of the Rose Parade for 2014. I think this is their fourth or fifth year. And what, you know, those groups are picked. There's certain ones they have every year, and then there's random groups that are picked. And they were supposed to be, years ago, one of the random groups, but they were so popular that they've been selected again and again and again and haven't missed a year. And a couple of the other groups that are going to be in, the Budweiser Clydesdales will be there again this year. The Appaloosa Horse Club, which is out of California, they are there every year. The Charo team is there every year. A couple of the others that we're familiar with, Medieval Times is always there, the Buffalo Soldiers. The Norco Cowgirl Rodeo Drill Team was there last year, our friends in Norco, and they will be there again. The Norwegian Fjords are going to be there. I think that's the first time in a while that the Fjords are there as a group. And, of course, there's a lot. If you know the Fjords are there, Wendy, there's going to be some driving, right? I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then let's see
here.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. The Warhorse Foundation has a group coming in. I don't know what that is exactly, but we'll find out. And then Wells Fargo is going to be there, too. And the reason that is unusual is very, very seldom do you see the Wells Fargo Stagecoach, which is pulled by the quarter horses, in the same event or parade that the Budweiser Clydesdales are in. They try and avoid each other like the plague. So,
I didn't know that.
It's very rare that you see those two in the same event. Yeah, so
I wonder why they try to avoid each other.
Well, I think it's just that the organizers don't tend to book them. They're kind of the same thing. You know, you have the big, you know, Clydesdale hitch pulling the beer wagon, and then you have the stagecoach being pulled by six horses, by six quarter horses. So it's kind of the same thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Organizers tend not to want to put them together. I don't think they really care. You know?
It's like you can't have Madonna and Lady Gaga at the same time.
Yeah, it's too much of a good thing. Yeah, or too much of a bad thing. So, which... Do you have a daily Winnie?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Hold on,
my
here
daily
you go.
Winnie is for
to give you your music.
My daily Winnie is for Ms. D. Miller, and Ms. D. is one of our pair drivers, and she also has competed in saddlebreds and Arabs, all different disciplines. And she also does coaching, wears fabulous hats. So she's always been my idol since I started driving. But she just recently started combined driving a few years ago. And she took her pair to Europe and competed at Beekbergen, which is a huge event. It's a very competitive pairs event in Europe. And she finished third in dressage and then finished eighth out of 34 overall in a very competitive field in Holland. So congratulations to Mizzy Wrigley Miller.
Very good. Well, good. That's terrific. And I know she was very excited about this trip. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, and she's worked really hard. You know, I mean, driving, she is tiny, and she drives these huge warm bloods. And to watch her go through the hazards is really, really cool.
Well,
I can't do it. She goes fast for me.
Well, very good. You know, I have some news here. It's some bizarre. It was bizarre news day, Wendy. It seemed like every story I found was just a bizarre story. And while we're waiting for Samantha here to give us a report from Rebecca Farm, I'll go through one or two of them with you. It was time for the Chincoteague Pony Penning and Swim that happened this week on Wednesday. And did you see that? You know what they do? They get them in the water and they swim them for about 5 minutes over to where they do the pony penning. It draws tens of thousands of spectators. I mean, they pack the shorelines for this every year up in Virginia. And it's one of those things that people who have been there said that every horse first should have this on their bucket list. But did you see that what happened? This is a 5 minute swim. Well, a storm came up, and after they got the horses in the water, the storm came up out of nowhere and just was thundering and lightning and drenched them all. Spectators, horses.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's a picture here. You can barely see the horses between the wind and the rain. It was a really awful end to the swim, actually, for everybody.
It rained on their parade.
It rained on their parade is exactly right. Now, they had the auction yesterday, I believe, where they auctioned off some of the babies and things, and I didn't get a report on how that went yet. But it was a wet end to an otherwise glorious occasion that everybody looks forward to, especially down there. And this is a big fundraiser for them, for the fire department down there. They do this. It started as a fundraiser years ago, and they've kept doing it every year. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. They kept doing it every year.
I didn't realize it was a fundraiser. Yeah. That's great.
Yep. And it's the Chincoteague Saltwater Cowboys are the ones who swim the horses over and do all the wrangling. So, excuse me, jeez. So that's what's going on over at Chincoteague. That's what happened there. I got a question for you, too, and I think you might have posted this. Oregon State University, the veterinary teaching hospital out there in Oregon, they had an equine influenza outbreak at the hospital where three horses became infected with the virus, and now they're on quarantine and shut down, and you can only come in with emergencies and that kind of thing. So my question to you is, if your poor horse goes in there because he has an ankle problem and picks up, equine influenza while he's there and has to stay for 2 weeks, do they bill you?
Yes.
I mean, but he got it at the hospital. It's their fault.
I know, but look, there's a lot of things that you can get at the hospital yourself. I personally hate to go into the emergency room myself because I feel like I'm surrounded by sick people. hospital. But if you get sick in the hospital, that's what happens.
I guess. I don't know. I don't think that's fair. But anyway.
You can sue them if you want, but then the next time you need the hospital, I'm sure they're not going to let you in.
All right, let's go to the host of the Eventing Radio Show, who is coming to us live from Rebecca Farm, one of the largest events in the United States. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that. It's Friday morning, which means second day of dressage. Good morning, Samantha Clark.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. It's so good to talk to you again. It's been a long time. So tell our audience may not be familiar with the beautiful surroundings you're in right now. Tell us a little bit about Rebecca Farm.
Rebecca Farm is in Montana, near Whitefish, Montana, right on the bottom of Glacier National Park. And it is absolutely beautiful. It truly is a destination event. Most of the riders are trying to get done as soon as possible so they can go off to the lake or go fishing. It's Zach Brandt, who's a California Young Rider, said it best. He said it's like a vacation with a horse show attached. It's just amazing. And I'm up here with my kids and they're loving it. Well, they're not at the horse show, but they're loving Montana.
Now, I heard there's 560 competitors this year. That has to make it one of the largest events in the country.
Yeah, it gets bigger every year, and it gets better every year, and it is a fantastic event. We've got all levels. We've got a training and novice three-day, a long format three-day. We've got the CIC three-star, CCI one and two stars, and every level in between, as well as young event horse classes, future event horse classes. I mean, there's so much going on. That's the problem, is I can't see it all. I need to clone myself and do more.
And if anybody's ever been with Samantha at an event, she does not sit still for 2 seconds. I finally gave up trying to keep up with her at the one I was with you. I just gave up. You and your dog wore me out.
Well, I'm running around like a headless chicken. There's so many beautiful horses here. There's so many great riders. They're so hospitable. Everyone's so friendly. I mean, it's just been the best time ever so far. But the weather, I have to say, it's very hot. And I'm not complaining, but I'm glad I don't have to put a show coat and boots and breeches on. It's in the mid-90s and sunny, hot and sunny. And, of course, we're about 4,000 feet up, so the sun is strong. But there's no humidity. And at night, we go down to the 50s, low 50s. So you need a little light jacket in the morning. But it's pretty amazing.
I heard the parties are
Samantha,
good there,
you said
too.
Something earlier...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just said I heard the parties are good there too, Samantha.
Yeah. Do you know, the parties are really good, but I haven't been because I'm there all day long and then I feel guilty about my children, so I go back and find out where they're doing fun things all day. They went rafting yesterday. We actually went zip lining together on Monday or Tuesday, I think, which was amazing. Really, really
fun.
Was that
your first time?
That was my first time, and they do it up in the mountains. Where it's a ski resort in the winter, and then in the summer they have all this summer stuff. And you do 7 lines. The first one is a little one to sort of teach you and get you started. And my son Harry, who's 9, was terrified, terrified. Uh-huh. So of course, Lily and I were longing to do it. So come on, Harry, you can do it. Come on, stop crying. And I knew that if he could do it, he would love it. But at the same time, I wondered at what point you stop being encouraging and start sort of scarring your children's life. But he did do it, and we all did all 7 lines and absolutely loved it. It was amazing. Amazing. Really exciting.
Fun. Hey, Samantha, I have a question for you about the show.
Yeah.
You said something about the long format for the training level.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a classic three-day event at training and novice level, which means they do the roads and tracks. It actually just started a couple of minutes ago, the first horse went out in phase A. And lots of people have done that. I mean, I think most of them are just using it as a training exercise for young horses, and some riders it'll be what they aim for all year. I mean, it's lovely to see. And not only that, but they've brought in Max Corcoran to help the riders, if they haven't done a long format 3-day, if they're a bit unsure, she's giving them lessons on how to trot up their horses, giving them hints on steeplechase riding. Philip Dutton walked the training course with them yesterday. There's just so much available for the riders here. It's amazing. And also, what a
different
place to do the roads and tracks. Well, they do phase A,
roads and tracks.
Yeah, phase A is a roads and tracks phase, and they do a steeplechase phase B, then a slightly longer roads and tracks. and they come to a 10-minute halt, 10-minute box, and they wash their horses off, get checked by the vets, and then they do the proper cross-country with the jumping. So it truly is speed and endurance.
And for the steeplechase days, do they really jump like brush fences?
Yes, proper, you know, like sort of big hurdles, steeplechase fences.
Yeah.
And they jump them pretty fast, which is a great way to learn to just gallop and jump out of a rhythm and go faster.
Right.
Now, were you when?
Well,
you,
I think it's great that they're bringing that back.
They're not going to bring it back, but some events do offer it. The problem is that because it's probably never going to be an FEI event again. But
right,
people,
right.
You know, a lot of people don't. It's expensive. It takes a lot out of your horse, so people don't do it. But it's great training, great horsemanship, and there are definitely people who still love it and are glad that these events offer it, even though it's expensive and you need a lot more land.
Yeah.
Samantha, when you were riding in England, were you doing long format, or was that post long format at that point?
Yes, back in the day. Thanks, Glenn. Just remind everyone. We've seen some great young riders here, which is lovely. And the West Coast clan are all so friendly, so it's great to catch up with them again. And the CIC 3-star is packed with, you know, some really good people, so that's going to be an exciting division, and that dressage starts today. And I just wanted to tell you, excuse me, yesterday I thought of, Jamie. I wanted to tell you there's a U.S. Air Force fighter pilot riding in the training division, and her horse is called Jet.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow. We'll have to tell her that. Oh, that's cool. That is really cool. Well, now tell us, too, is this a spectator thing out there? Do they get a lot of spectators?
They do get a lot of spectators, especially tomorrow for the cross country, and they've got an amazing water complex. And I actually put pictures up on Eventing Nation of the 3-star course. I mean, all the jumps are beautiful. There's a cowboy hat, a belt buckle. You know, there's definitely some Montana themed things, some Western themes. But the water, there's two water crossings all together, and then there's a hill that you can sit on and watch that. So they call it Spectator Hill, and they do get pretty good crowds, and they're good at promoting it locally. So we do get a lot of people out on Saturday. I've only been once before, 2 years ago, and it was freezing cold, but we still got a lot of people out. So I'm expecting that tomorrow there'll be a ton.
Well, very good. Well, we know you have a lot of work to do for Eventing Nation. We'll give a plug out, eventingnation.com, if you want to follow what's going on over there at Rebecca Farm. And stay cool, and we thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be looking for your reports over at Eventing Nation.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And also, Nate and Joe, I know, are going to do a big report on it on next week's Eventing Radio show.
That's right, eventingradio.com. Thank you, Samantha. It's good to talk to you again.
Perfect. Thanks, Glenn. Bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Samantha.
Bye, Wiz.
She says that's so good. She's very busy there because she's covering it for Eventing Nation, and she does run around like a chicken with her head cut off at these events, and she doesn't sit still for 2 seconds. I mean, she wears me out. And so it was nice of her to take time out to join us this morning and give us a little bit of a flavor. Sounds like it's hot, though, and they'll be...
Hey, Glenn, I have to go to Rebecca Farm. They have a train jump. You get to jump the whole train.
Oh, really?
Jump. It's the whole train. It's got an engine and a little caboose and cars, and the different divisions jump a different car. It's so cool.
Yeah, one of the big things about Rebecca Farm is they're known for their jumps are really like works of art. They're known as for having some of the coolest looking jumps in the world. And it is beautiful. If you see pictures, if you go to Eventing Nation, you'll see pictures. It sits in this valley with the mountains all around. It's Montana, so it sits in this valley with the mountains all around. It's just absolutely beautiful. And all the eventers really want to go there. If you're an eventer, there's two things you want to do in the United States that are on your bucket list. One is Rolex, of course, but there's only 60 to 70 that are ever at Rolex every year because it's 4-star. And then there's Rebecca Farm. Everybody wants to go to Rebecca Farm. So, So what would the version of that be in driving? You know, in driving competitions, what are the one or two that everybody has in their bucket list?
Oh, I mean, definitely Live Oak.
Yeah, down here in Florida,
that's everybody's favorite show.
Yeah,
in Ocala, and we used to have a 5-phase event back in the day, so. That was really fun. And it was instead of the I don't think they run Bear Hill anymore.
That's true. That was a really good one.
That was a good one. That I think that ended before I started driving. Like, I showed there at just a little show, but the FEI one ended there. And I think it's just because of the... They used to have a thing that they would do a three-day event and a dressage show, like in a thing of champions or something.
Yep, that's right. We used
to
go and watch it.
The driving takes so much room. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, sometimes these ridden horses never see carriages. So when they hear a four in hand coming, to share a course of a four in hand sometimes really messes up these veterans.
They had.
So I don't know why they thought that, but
they had an obstacle there at Fair Hill. There's a hill that came down to the at the bottom of the hill was the water complex, and on the side of this hill, which was at a hell of an angle, and in the trees, it had trees on it, and it was at an angle, and they had one of the obstacles for the drivers, and I swear those drivers were driving at about 45-degree angle through this obstacle. It was the scariest, and I think Jennifer would agree with this, it was the scariest obstacle we have ever seen in carriage driving. Would you agree with that, Jennifer? It was
amazing.
Bizarre.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, the carriage would be sliding down the hill as the horses are, oh, it was bizarre.
Oh, my God. I've seen video of that, and it looks very terrifying.
It was terrifying to watch. I can't imagine being in the carriage. You know how the little guy in the back is always, you know, shifting weight from side to side to keep the carriage from hitting the obstacles and stuff? This little guy in the back was just holding on not to die. That's what that was. There was no shifting. It was...
That sounds scary. We'll have to find video of that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hey, I do have a, before we get to our next guest here, I do have a little bit of a sad story that I wanted to bring up, partly because it was, again, bizarre story day. And this guy, he's a 68-year-old Vietnam veteran from Michigan. His name is Charles Peters. And he wanted to honor the Vietnam veterans out there, and he's a horse guy. So he got one of those gypsy kind of wagons that we had the guy on the driving radio show that makes them, remember? And they were... Those ones that have the round top and you live in them. They're like a caravan kind of wagon. And he decided that he wanted to honor the Vietnam veterans. So he left from Owosso, Michigan on May the 1st with his wagon pulled by two mules. And his goal was to go to Oklahoma to his father's grave. He had never been to his father's grave, who was a World War II veteran. So he wanted to go to his father's grave and honor his father. And he headed out on this journey. And what he wanted to do along the way was honor all of the Vietnam veterans that he found in the little towns along the way. So this really was a mission that he wanted to accomplish. Unfortunately, it came to an abrupt end in the Ozarks on Highway 64. A pickup truck heading at a high rate of speed rear-ended him and landed on top of his mules. It hit him so hard. It hit the wagon so hard from the back. And these are big wagons. They're tall. They're like 15 feet tall. So this truck was moving and threw him off the front. He broke a couple of ribs and ended up in the hospital and killed the mules. They're both deceased. And the person driving the car ended up in the hospital, too. But one of the things I found about this story, we don't like covering negative stories here and stories like this, but he said from the hospital, "I won't give up this trip for anything. If people ask me what it would take for me to quit, I just say that I would have to die first." So he's going to head back home. He's going to get a couple mules and train them again, and he's going to head out on this trip again. He's bound and determined to finish it. And the last thing he said was, "Please say a prayer for the driver of the car. I have already." So I thought that was really cool. That shows you what kind of guy he is to say that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, this is something we think about all the time, driving carriages, you know? The place you worry about it, and I'm sure you do too, is when you're rounding a turn and you're on a blind turn and you're on the other side. If somebody comes around that turn and is going too fast, they're not going to stop in time. And that's the one thing that's been my biggest fear.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And, you know, for me, sometimes And I hate to generalize, but the worst people on the road are like these busy moms on the go, like going from soccer to wherever. And they just kind of get in their groove and they don't realize how fast they're going. And I'm sure they wouldn't want someone to go that fast around their kids, but they get really close to the carriages and they just are not paying attention.
In other words, you're saying minivan people.
And those are the people that are really dangerous. Minivan people.
That's what you're saying.
I think they feel like at that moment it is really the most important place to be, like ballet. They can't be late. But if they run over somebody's kid or hit your horse or whatever, I think it really brings it all back into perspective. So, I mean, why not just slow down for a carriage or dog on the road or something like that?
You know, we lived in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which probably has more horse and buggies than anywhere else in the world, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we grew up learning to avoid the horse and buggies and to pay attention. And one of the things you learn living in Lancaster County is, and this is always on your mind when you grow up living there, is when, and Lancaster County, Pennsylvania is very hilly. It's not mountainous, it's hilly. And when you would come up to the top of a hill, they even taught this in driver's ed class in high school. When you come up to the top of the hill, you always let off the gas because you never knew if right on the other side of that hill was a horse and buggy. I've had that happen several times where I'd come up over the top of the hill and right there's a horse and buggy. And if I had not let off the gas and been slowing down, you know, at the crest of the hill, I'd hit him. So that's one of the things they actually taught us in Lancaster County was, you know, how to be careful of that. But I can't tell you how many buggy accidents. I mean, we were on the way to school in the bus the one day and came across a buggy accident where they had to put the horse down. And we were the first ones on the scene, the school bus. And there were a couple kids that were horse kids, and they got out and tried to help and stuff. But, yeah, so that's something, you know, as carriage drivers and as riders, too. I mean, Jennifer, you know, got hit, you know, she got hit by a car riding her horse on the road. So it happens to both, but.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was when she was a kid. I don't know. How old were you then, Jennifer?
Teens.
Yeah.
In my teens.
So, I mean, you know, it happens, but it's something that we definitely think about when we're driving our carriages, for sure. But this guy, good for him. He's going to continue his mission, and what a good guy to already have forgiven the driver. So I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor, and we're going to come back with Sammy Joe of Zebra Guru and Downtime Training. She's one of our favorite guests. We have her on a regular basis. She's been on almost every show on the network. I met Wendy. She's been on our driving radio show before. And we're going to catch up on what's going on with her little zoo she has there in Texas. And we're going to do that in just a minute. Choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to KPP. This week, I want to speak with you about Elevate Maintenance Powder. This time of year, horses are consuming very little grass and may not be able to get enough natural vitamin E. Horses in rigorous training, seniors, broodmares, and stallions often require additional levels of vitamin E to meet their needs. When you need to supplement with natural vitamin E, choose Elevate Maintenance Powder. Affordable, effective, and research-proven, Elevate Maintenance Powder's vitamin E is nature's most powerful antioxidant, protecting your horse on the cellular level. Elevate Maintenance Powder supports the strong immune system and healthy muscle function necessary for top performance. It's affordable, it's easy to feed, and you can learn more about this and all their other products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Be sure to follow Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook as well. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. She's always posting good nutritional stuff over there for your horses. Speaking of nutrition, there's someone that needs to know a lot about that for different kinds of animals. And she's, as I said, one of our favorite guests. She is always getting in all kinds of misadventures. I love following her on Facebook. And that is Sammy Joe of Zebra Guru and Downtime Training. Good morning, Sammy. Good to have you back again.
Good morning. Good to talk to you again.
I'll tell you what, I follow you on Facebook, and you have some of the most bizarre experiences in the world. Every day I go, what could Sammy Joe get into today that's more bizarre than yesterday? Is that just your life?
I have fun, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what. You have a menagerie of animals out there, and I know that a while back, didn't you try and drive the water buffalo? Let's start with the water buffalo. First of all, what's the water buffalo's name?
Wilson. And he is one of my most popular animals on Facebook. You know, I have zebras, but I jump, and I have all these really cool animals, and everybody comes out to my place, and they're like, oh, a cow. They're very excited about Wilson.
He's
my favorite, too.
Yeah, he's all our favorites, too, because who else owns a water buffalo? You're the only one we know. So.
Yeah, he gets into so much trouble. It's not even funny.
Everybody
else, but I have to fix everything.
Yes, half your misadventures is the things he breaks. He's good at taking down the fence, isn't he?
Yes, he's good at getting into fences and breaking waterers. I have to replace probably 15 waterers this year. And everybody says, oh, you know, your cup runneth over. Well, we do things bigger around here, and our water trough runneth over, thanks to the buffalo.
So tell us about Wilson. Didn't you start to drive him? Is that what I remember? You tried to?
Yeah, I've been driving him since he was little. And as he's gotten bigger, he's a little over 2,000 pounds now. And he has a yoke, and I have a big hay wagon that I got for him, I guess, close to a year ago. And, well, maybe not that long, but I hitch him up every day, and that's how we feed around here. Wilson and I, all the hay around, and it's a lot of fun. He loves it. He stands there waiting, and he'll run over to the wagon and wait, and he gets all upset if I feed with the truck instead of him because he didn't get to work.
Wilson has a job.
Oh. So I bet all the other animals love him because he's the food deliverer.
Yeah, it's interesting because I work with a lot of different kinds of, a lot of different horses and things, and I have a couple of dressage horses of my own, and then I get horses in occasionally to train, and you should see some of these dressage horses who have been used to, you know, very regimented routine and regimented life, and then all of a sudden a water buffalo is feeding them, and they just have no idea what to think about that.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that would be scary for them the first time.
Yeah, they have this mixture of they're nickering and snorting at the same time because their grain buckets are on that wagon. But there's a water buffalo in front of that wagon.
When you drive the water buffalo wagon, do you park it and he just stands there, or do you have to have another person driving and then you throw out that seed?
Nope, he just stands there, and at first, you know, I had to do a lot more work, but then once he gets used to the routine and gets his commands and everything down, he knows where to stop now, but I can also change up the routine, and when I tell him to stand, he parks it, and he's supposed to stay there until I say to do something else.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I'm a
horse. I've always wanted to
be very good at it.
I'm a
besides the Roman riding, my other dream is to drive oxen.
Oh, there you go. There's a guy actually comes.
They're fun. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's a guy who comes down to the Kentucky Horse Park and does demonstrations every year. I think he's from Maine. I think Maine is where they drive more oxen than any other place because they actually use them up there to pull the lumber out of the woods and stuff. So, Sammy, tell us what other adventures you've had with your animals since we've talked to you last.
Well, the big thing coming up this weekend, I've got a dressage show this weekend, and I've got this horse. I got him about a month ago, and he didn't come from a bad situation at all. He came from a very typical dressage situation where he was stalled all the time and very regimented routine, and it just didn't work for him. He has a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, and so I brought him out to my place. And I have what I call yard horses, which means I shut my main gate in my property, and the horses go wherever they want. So they choose to interact with people whenever they want, and it's a very relaxed kind of lifestyle for him, and it's just really been great for him. So that's my big thing right now, is seeing how much change we can make in him. And so this weekend's our first show, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, good luck with that. I think that sounds like fun. Although with as adventurous,
he's certainly adapting a lot better to it.
With as adventurous as you are, I was surprised that you're into dressage. I really pictured eventing or jumping or something with element of fear to it.
Yeah, well, I play polo cross too, so you know, that's definitely a much more dangerous sport.
I was looking through your Facebook page the other day, and I saw you riding a camel. You didn't get a camel, did you?
No, that is one of my best friends, Jason's camel, and she is amazing. She's just a lot of fun.
It looked like fun.
We need a camel, Glenn.
I know.
Get a camel.
I wonder if you can drive a camel. What kind of carriage would you need for that?
Yep.
I've driven a camel.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Well, now tell us, too, have you done any movie work or TV work that you can talk about since we talked to you last?
Nope, not lately. It's been pretty boring.
Okay. Your life is
Your life is never boring.
No.
Okay.
No, it's never quite boring, but it's just, you know, nothing in front of the camera lately.
See, now, I'll tell you what, being a horse husband, I look at you and I go, okay, I've been married to a horsewoman. We've had the big barn. I know what it's like to work from morning till evening and everything. But you're getting done at the most bizarre hours. Sammy Joe works harder than anybody I've ever seen to take care of her zoo there. And I just get. Do you ever get a social life? I notice every once in a while you go out line dancing. So I know you go out occasionally.
Yes, I love to dance, and I actually have. I do a couple of lessons a week. Doing ballroom dancing and West Coast swing is my favorite. But so I very much enjoy dancing, and that's kind of my big social thing is the dancing. So,
so you did get
off
the farm.
Okay, here's a question.
Yes,
she does. Here's my question, and you may or may not want to answer this truthfully. How many animals do you have on the farm?
Let's see. I think I've got. Nine horses and a mule and two zebras, two horses, a zonkey. I think I've got somewhere around 40 or 45 chickens and six dogs and three cats and three chinchillas and a snake and some koi and a turtle. I think that's everybody. If I left anybody out there, oh, the water buffalo, goodness, talk about
Chad
Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's going to hate me.
Oh, my God. So I didn't add those all up, but it sounds like close to 100. If you add the chickens in.
There's a lot of, yeah, the chickens, they go where they want. And every picture that I put on Facebook around the farm, it's kind of the quest to see how many chickens are going to be in the picture.
Well, now you're known for, and we've talked to you on the driving radio show about driving one of your zebras. Have the zebras done anything new lately?
Nothing new, but I do take them out and drive them and do some riding on them. And right now it's just trying to beat the heat. It's so hot and humid down here. And Zach, one of my riding zebra, he loves the water. So I have an assembly line at my wash rack where middle of the day when it gets hot, all the horses and anybody who's interested lines up at the wash rack and demands that I go over. So I'll look outside and I'll see six or seven animals standing by the wash rack saying, hello, do you know how hot it is out here? So, and one of my zebras just absolutely loves his bath and he's kind of a hog about it. Which is kind of funny because he weighs about somewhere in the neighborhood of 650 pounds. And some of my bigger horses are, you know, 1,200 to 1,300 pounds. And so he bosses them around and says, my turn.
So now,
where do you get these zebras? Does someone breed them and you buy them from someone? Or are they rescues? Or where do you get them?
There are a lot of zebras in Texas. And in Texas, it's kind of the thing where people have exotic animals. It's a pretty big deal. And so both of mine, I bought both of them. One of them was actually somebody had bought Zach up in Minnesota or something. Maybe it was Michigan. Mm-hmm. Michigan. And then she just couldn't handle him and ended up not being a good idea for her. And so I got him from her. And then Charlie, I got him when he was a baby from a breeder up here.
And it's much easier getting them as babies, right? Because, you know, they're wild animals. Must be difficult to train.
For sure. And it's a lot more work when you get them as babies because, I mean, it's kind of like getting a puppy. People forget how much work a puppy is until they actually get one.
Mm-hmm,
so
that's true.
It's round-the-clock feedings, and, I mean, it takes a long time, and you have a lot of work. And it can seem kind of daunting because you're like, oh, they're a baby, and you've got a long time before you can really do a whole lot with them. I mean, you can do a lot of work with them, but people get in a hurry to ride and drive them. Well, they're babies, and it's going to take a while.
It's just like a
horse. With their mane, Does their mane stay like that, or does it ever like grow really long and come over?
Nope, it stays upright. So it's about 5 inches long, 4 or 5 inches, and sticks straight in the air.
That's cool.
I love their mane. So
that is cool. Yeah, we need a horse breed that that does that. Take care of it so much easier. Hey,
I turn out my guys.
I got to give you both crap. I'm going to give you both, Wendy and you both, some crap. Because I'm always picking on Wendy because she wears sandals in the barn. And, of course, you know, we grew up Pony Club and, you know, all of that. And Sammy knows where I'm going with this. So I'm always picking on Wendy about that. Sammy, you're even worse. My God, girl. So there's this picture of her driving Gunner, one of her horses, poking him to harness and driving him for the first time. And there she is in her bare feet. And there were more comments. I was reading the comments to that post you had on Facebook. There's more comments about you being out there without your shoes on than the horse. I don't think anybody even saw the horse. And it was funny because I'm a driver and I looked at that. And the first thing I saw was you in your bare feet. And your defense was, well, I've been barefoot all my life and I'm probably more aware of my feet than anybody else. Okay, come on. You've got to have been stepped on.
Honestly, I have never had a foot injury. And right now I am feeding all of my horses breakfast and I'm barefoot. I am always barefoot out here. And yes, there's, of course, risks and everything. But I've never had a horse step on my foot, but I've never had a horse step on my foot enough to injure it. Because my horses tend to be pretty careful and watch where they put their feet. And of course, I'm protective of my feet. But yeah, I'm always barefoot. I'm on my farm probably 80% of the time I'm barefoot.
Don't you have scorpions and things?
I don't see anything wrong with that, Glenn.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. I didn't think you would. Tell us about the worst foot injury you ever had.
Okay. this was when I was in high school, and my parents had just, it's up where there's a lot of deer and elk and everything, and so we always shed antlers. And so we had this collection of shed antlers in our living room. And we were looking at them, you know, kind of looking at our collection, going, oh, yeah, this is cool. And then we all went to bed. Well, like 10 minutes later, I decided I needed to get up to get something. And it was all dark in the house, and I went to walk through the house, and I stepped on one of the horns.
Oh.
Put them all there, and then went ahead and walked right through the house and stepped on it. And so the horn went all the way through my foot, and it was not very fun.
Oh. Yucky.
That was pretty good.
Oh, you still
but yeah, I've never had an injury like that on the farm. Just in the living room.
That's why I'm saying you always have the best stories.
Yeah. See, whenever I get injuries, it's always doing something silly. You know, I pulled a hamstring once while I was like sweeping the floor and, you know, things like that. It's never, you know, something big, impressive story.
Well, Sammy, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at the dressage show. Good luck with that. And we appreciate you coming on and getting us all caught up about what's going on over there. And of course, the website, zebraguru.com, right?
Uh-huh.
Very good. And you can also follow her on Facebook. Just search for Sammy Joe. She'll pop up. And Zebra Guru, zebraguru.com. Good luck. Kick butt this weekend at the dressage show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you, Sammy.
Bye-bye.
She's so much fun. Can you imagine being her? I don't think she's married, but I can't imagine being her horse husband. You'd have to have the patience of a saint, I think. Because she's just,
yeah.
You know how Templeton Thompson always says hippie chick cowgirl? Well, that's Sammy Joe. She's a hippie chick cowgirl, for sure. I have always wanted...
Well, she has like this dream farm. I would love to go visit, but it's a lot of work. I mean, I can't believe she goes out and dances because she must work from, you know, all day and then fall into bed, sleep for 3 hours and then get up again.
Exactly. You're right, because she works hard all day. I mean, I was sort of counting in my head, and I think I came out with like 90 animals when she was talking about that.
I know.
Like, oh, my God. And, you know, these aren't animals that are necessarily easy to take care of. That water buffalo literally is knocking fences down every week. It causes
she's so cute.
More trouble. Wilson.
I bet.
Well, let's take a break. for a commercial, and our song of the day is I'm Gonna Fly by Casey Smith. And then we're coming back, and of course it's Friday, so really bad ads. I have a couple new other bizarre news stories for you. And then we'll be back with really bad ads here in a minute as well. So let's go to I'm Gonna Fly.
I've always been the shy and quiet type, biding my time until the time was right. Driving through life with one foot on the brake, mystery of a chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do whatever I please. No, nothing's gonna have a hold on.
Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
That's right. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Dr. Wendy Ying today from the Driving Radio Show. And, of course, Coach Jen is producing. Jamie is off on baby parade, showing off the baby to relatives in California today, taking her first six-hour trip with a baby in the car, which I am sure we're going to hear some stories about on Monday when she comes back. Well, Wendy.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Wendy, this show is also brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. Wendy, there was a couple more bizarre news stories today. It's like Bizarre News Friday. Horses at a Butler County Fair, this is in Pennsylvania, Butler County's in Pennsylvania in the western part of the state, reportedly were poisoned. They had 20 horses that were given poison in their water, and I love the description of the guy that was seen doing it. It was an elderly, skinny white man. Which probably describes three quarters of the people in Butler County. But apparently he was witness pouring some kind of chemical. They think it was some kind of cleaning or detergent or bleach substance into the horse's water. Before they could get all, they ran around and then started checking all the horses' waters. And apparently a couple of the horses did drink a little bit of it and ended up with inflamed and red gums. Nobody has gotten sick yet, and they're looking for the skinny elderly white man. So if you've seen a skinny elderly white man in Butler County, call the police. Probably the one.
That's a horrible story. That's just awful.
I'm telling you, it was Bizarre Story Friday, because now we head to California, and we have the, name of this place? The Orange County Equestrian Center. That eight people were in the Orange County Equestrian Center, which, by the way, is a very nice place, and somebody started shooting at the front door. They called the police. The police came out and managed to get the people, 8 or 10 people, out of the equestrian center. Now they have made a couple, or they have detained a couple of people. The SWAT team showed up, and it was quite a scene at the Orange County Equestrian Center yesterday. So another bizarre story for you. Well, let's end on a non-bizarre story and a good story, and that is Sergeant Reckless. We talked about it the other day. I posted a picture of Sergeant Reckless's statue that was being worked on, and it's a 10-foot statue, a little larger than life. And, of course, we talked about Sergeant Reckless was the one during the Korean War who made the 51 solo trips up the side of a hill carrying ammunition to the Marines who were basically in a bad situation. And he received 2 Purple Hearts and several other military decorations, and has been one of the most decorated animals in any war ever. His name was Flame before he got the nickname Sergeant Reckless, and he got that nickname after this particular battle in the Korean War. Well, they're going to dedicate his statue today at the Marine Corps base in Virginia. And this is the cool part of this story, is there are Korean War veterans who actually served with Sergeant Reckless who are coming in and are going to be there as part of this ceremony, and they expect it to be a very tear-filled thing. He basically saved a lot of, or she did. I keep calling him a he.
It's a mare. Yeah.
Yep. She saved a lot of lives and did, you know, did a good thing for the Marines, and what a hero. I mean, it's an unbelievable story.
Well, I hope people get the chance to see that video that they made of her, because it's really incredible, inspiring, and I am so glad they're dedicating this statue today.
there's another part of the story that isn't well told. It's, you know, how Paul Harvey used to do his little bit. Well, here is the part you didn't know, is that the 900-pound Reckless, whose legendary appetite included huge portions of scrambled eggs, chocolate pudding, and beer. So that's what the Marines fed him. He joined the Marines in 1952 after, or she did, she joined the Marines in 1952 after she was purchased by a soldier for $250 from a Korean boy who needed money to buy an artificial leg for his sister. So, so you know, Reckless has this amazing story about, you know, being brave, but the story about how he came to be in the hand of the Marines was interesting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave birth later.
I don't know why I keep doing that.
She gave birth later to three colts named Fearless, Dauntless, and Chesty, and a filly that died one month later. But the three colts went on to, you know, to live happy lives. And she died on May 13th, 1968, to full military honors at Camp Pendleton. And she retired.
I think it's so great, too, that they brought her home and and took care of her.
Yep, they did. And what an amazing story. I mean, there's got to be a movie in the making about this, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there should be.
I mean, what a movie. I mean, I want to see this movie. I really do.
You know what was incredible is that she, this is what I found incredible as a driver. She would do this trip up and down the hill by herself.
Yes.
There was nobody driving her.
Nope. Yep, you're absolutely right.
She would go
right
up with the ammunition, and she would come down with the wounded soldiers, and she did that all on her own. She just went up and back. And I'm sure they have food or whatever trained her, but still, to have an animal. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Duke is not going anywhere where they're shooting. It's dirty. He has to pull uphill. Carrot or no, he'll just stay at the bottom. You know, it's incredible.
Well, you had another horse we talked about a couple weeks ago that was having issues, and I know you made a trip up to the University of Florida. Tell us about, that's Duke, right? Isn't that Duke?
Oh, yeah, that's Duke. That's mommy's baby, who's totally completely spoiled. But he got kicked by his pal in the pasture, and he was had a bone chip in there that abscessed out. And then he was just never getting any better. And then one day he was put in the wrong pasture and he couldn't get up. He was just down. And I gave him some medicine in the pasture and we hobbled him. You know, like he just hobbled back into his barn. And he got his second set of radiographs and it looked horrible. So, you know, we don't usually do a lot of adult horses' elbows. Like a fracture of the elbow is usually a baby foal thing. So we sent him away to the University of Florida to get a second opinion. And they said, oh my God, don't let this dog. He has a total fracture of the elbow. He shouldn't be running around. And like, you know, by the time this recommendation came back, we'd just been letting Duke run around free in the yard. And now I felt like the worst horse owner on the face of the earth. Cause I felt like I was letting my broken legged horse run around. So anyways, we finally got the appointment and we went up there and they said, once the radiologist looked at it, he said, no, he's fine. False alarm. So thank God I wasn't a bad horse owner because he's been walking around free like a yard horse, like Sammy Joe was talking
about. So it's not broken or splintered or fractured or?
No. The day that he was down, he had been in for a long time with the kick. So he must have pulled some tendons in his elbow, like an equivalent to like tennis elbow in humans, which can be super painful. So, but luckily the x-rays were misread by the first referral. So thank God.
Well,
so when I get up there, they said to me, they said, is this the broken elbow horse? I said, yeah, but I'm hoping you're going to tell me it's a false alarm. So,
well, that's good news.
But
yay
that's
for you.
Equine medicine for you.
Yes.
Yep.
Good news.
Yep.
Very good news. I'm glad to hear that. And PT, a little pony I adopted there two weekends ago, is doing great. He's ornery as ever and starting to show that he's gaining a little bit of weight. Jennifer, actually, I don't know if she's on here right now, but she actually did a little weight calculation for him. And what did you determine he weighed?
I determined that he weighed approximately 194 pounds.
I'm heavier than
That's
my
horrible.
Horse. I'm heavier than my horse.
So let's think about that. I mean, that's like, he's 12 hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And 194 pounds. So you have to be careful when you start working him.
Yeah, I mean, we've only ground-driven him for like 5 minutes. I actually took him for a walk down the lane and back yesterday, and he was tired. He was like...
Well, good thing you're on a diet.
Yeah, I know. So we're hoping he gets fattened up to maybe closer to 400 pounds. I'm losing weight, and he's supposed to gain weight. That's the idea here. That's what we're thinking.
All right, that's perfect.
That's what we're hoping anyway. That's our hope. Well, all right, it's that time of the week, everybody, that everybody looks forward to. I got two more emails this week from listeners to the Horses in the Morning show that we had not heard from before, who said that really bad ads is their favorite thing, and I think it's everybody's, and it's ours too, so why not?
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing, he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we do really bad ads. And this is the time when our listeners submit bad Craigslist ads or Craigslist ads that they see in the farm and home section or something about an animal or a tractor or something. And they submit them to us and we read them and we just poke a little fun at them. And for that, we give prizes for the ones who submit the best really bad ads. It's going to be tough today because there's a good batch. Jennifer, do you want to tell
us? I know. This is a good one.
You want to tell us what the prizes are?
I can do that as soon as my computer reboots.
Oh, okay. What, you want me to do it? Well, we have...
I can do it. I've got my computer rebooted.
Okay, go ahead.
I can do it.
How about... Oh.
On today's prize lineup, we've got the Absorbing Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package. The variety of pesky biting insects you and your horse deal with throughout the spring, summer, and fall seasons can seem endless. Fear not. With four distinct fly control options, Ultra Shield EX, Ultra Shield Red, Ultra Shield Sport, and Ultra Shield Green, the Ultra Shield family allows you to choose the type of product to best suit your weather conditions, your horse's lifestyle, and workload. Look for Absorbing Ultra Shield fly products at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at absorbing.com. Next up, a pair of Spursuaders in your choice of English or Western style. The unique patented design of the Spursuader allows you to elicit positive response from your aide rather than the negative resentment typically comes along with traditional sharp-edged spurs. The Spursuaders are available in English or Western styles and are permitted in Canadian eventing and Canadian and American hunter-jumper, USDF, British, and Canadian dressage shows, so you can use them pretty much anywhere. Ask for the unique patented Spursuader spurs at your local tack store, or you can go to spursuader.com. And rounding out today's prize package list, Dr. Rose's Remedy. Dr. Rose's Remedy's skin treatment and salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-raccoon. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatment for scratches, abrasions, cuts, and scrapes on horses, dogs, and cats. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Lots of prizes, and I can honestly say that we use every one of these at our farm here in Florida, for sure. All right, here we go. Really bad ads. Let's get it started with, you know how I always find one on my own that's, you know, not horse-related and is just bizarre out of the personal section or something, Wendy? Well, I didn't have to do that this week because Brianne Long came to my rescue, and this is the ad that she came up with, and I love this one. World's Most Uncomfortable Saddle is the title, and here's what the ad reads. Features steel rails forged by Lucifer himself. Genuine prehistoric buffalo hide seat provides maximum chafing. I cannot merely throw this saddle into the rubbish heap, lest some unwary passerby become transfixed by its lightless glow. No, I must only give this to the one with courage to look into the bloodshot eyes of insanity. Eager for revenge upon mortals, this saddle will revisit his arse with blisters that rival the torment of fire and brimstone. A dire lesson he will soon not forget. This same fate will befall any unworthy mortal who, in his ignorance, attempts to mount the saddle of doom. Are you worthy?
This is so Craigslist. This is why I read Craigslist once a week.
How many calls do you think he got?
I love these dramatic people.
Do you think he got calls that people wanted to buy this saddle?
I don't think he got calls because people were, people were afraid of his weirdness, but I think he got lots of emails.
I love the steel rails forged by Lucifer himself.
No, that's good.
That's great. That was a terrific ad. Thank you, Brian. That was great.
Okay, our next one's from Susan Nelson. And it says, wagon horse with harness that rides. Wow, a harness that rides. That's good. $500. Trigger is a grade 13-year-old, 15 one-hand stout, butterball fat, gated gelding. He is very gentle, easy to catch, easy to handle. He's broke to work a wagon, also broke to ride. Was told he will pull a wagon all day and no load was too big. They were told that. He rides decent too, has a very nice gait, travels well. He has a knot across his left eye to under his right eye. The guy I got him from said he wasn't sure what happened, but he said at some time or another, a few weeks ago, he ran into or was hit by something out in his pasture, just being mean. Looks to me like the same thing. It is hard, but not sort of a touch. You can push all around it, and it doesn't bother him at all. That said, same thing. It won't affect him, just an eyesore that may or may not go down. He is priced to sell with his harness.
Good God, what was he doing being mean? What did he do? Did he walk up to a tree and stick his tongue out, and the tree whopped him with a branch? I don't. This thing goes all the way across his head. I don't know how that would have happened.
I think it sounds like he was being mean to his friend, who's probably a big draft horse, and it kicked him right in the face.
It doesn't look, have it look like a
kick
mark,
though. You know what it was,
though.
I know.
What is it?
He got too close to that tree on Harry Potter.
Harry Potter tree. That would hurt you. Mm. Don't you love that he's butterball fat, too? That's a good description. Butterball fat. But he'll pull a wagon all day. He'll do that all day. Nothing saying he's going to be happy about it, but he'll pull it all
day. Yeah, I was told.
And the harness is a piece of crap and needs cleaned.
The person's only had this horse for a couple weeks.
Oh, that's true.
And it's already selling it.
Yeah.
Got it from this guy.
Because the bump wasn't going down. And by the way.
Let me tell you, Trigger.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you take a picture of
your... Well, he's 13 years old. I don't believe it.
When you take a picture of your horse for sale, please brush it first and don't take the picture of him absolutely covered in mud. And oh, by the way, if you're going to sell the harness too, could you clean the harness? It hasn't been cleaned in 20 years. Just saying.
I know. That's all.
I have two quick ones for you. Yvette sent this one in. Who is Yankee 44? Now we finally know a name. It's Yvette. Seeking a cowgirl. Do you think this was in the personal section, by the way? Let's find this out. Let's guess.
Yes.
The title is Seeking a Cowgirl. Seeking a cowgirl to work and brush our horses twice a week. If interested, please reply and say a few things about yourself. What do you think he wants to know? Bra size.
Yeah, that's spooky. Hey, this is a Craigslist ad. People would say to me, you can't go on Craigslist. You'll get murdered. I'm like, I'm not answering like ads where like I'm lonely and, you know, want to go on dates. This is one of those ads. Do not answer this ad.
No.
This is the creepy weirdo.
Yeah. He's peering out the window at you in your tight cowgirl outfit brushing his horses twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's another one from Stacey Ann. Horse, $450. This is in Hamilton, Alabama. He around 15 hands broke. He does real good on trail, and I got 3 horse. Don't have time to ride them all. If you want a good horse to set up, all I want is some money back. Call me and send a pick if possible. He all round 15 hand broke. He dusts real good on a trail. And I got three horses don't have time to ride. If you want a good horse, set you up.
You know, Glenn,
yeah.
I have to tell you, I'm having flashbacks to when I lived in Bonifay, Florida on the Panhandle, because I was actually very close to Hamilton, and this is like what I used to see when I go there. Like my clients are like this. So like right away, when you drive down the driveway and you see this, you're like, oh, you know you're not getting paid.
I wonder that about
right.
vets.
And I'm like, oh.
I wonder that about vets if yeah, they pull into this... some places and go, I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah, and you know, you're like, I'm not getting paid. I'm either going to end up taking this horse home. It'll probably be like a sick dog I'll have to treat. I'm not going to get paid. You know, I mean, this is exactly, I know exactly this client and horse. And I bet you he's a chestnut quarter horse named Sonny.
Well, you have the next one. Another one from Yvette.
Oh, okay. Here's another one from Yvette. Meet Hunter Jumper Don. $300. Cloverport, Kentucky. Name is Seaborn. Thoroughbred. May have paper somewhere. Height is in the 16 hand range, and he's 7 years old. Trained in Hunter Jumpers. Hasn't been rode in almost a year. This guy is a tank. Leads, loads, and ties. Labeled as unpredictable, he nips and may kick.
Oh.
Must be an advanced rider. $300. Must be picked up.
Doesn't
located
load either.
Cloverport, Kentucky. Doesn't load. Don't know how much else about this horse. He was dumped at a friend of mine's farm the day before yesterday and wasn't given much info on him. If at all interested, please text. Need this horse gone ASAP.
Okay, I'm taking the over and under on whether this horse is stolen. I'm guessing this horse was stolen. That's my over and under on this one. Dumped at the friend's house 2 days
you know what
before.
I got for this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the friend didn't even want him. No.
Labeled as unpredictable.
Because they take it in the trailer and take it to the killers.
That's true. And he nips and may kick, that's which means he has nipped it. And he will kick. That's what that means.
Yeah.
And he's a tank, which means he doesn't go anywhere you want him to go. And he doesn't load. I'm sorry. He doesn't load. No. I love the title.
Right. And how do they know if he was just jumped? I mean, just dumped. How do they know he hasn't been ridden in a year? I mean, this is like they've already caught themselves in a lie here.
Well, for that matter, how do they know he's a hunter jumper if they haven't ridden him?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They don't know. And he may have papers.
That's why I think they know.
Just dumped.
I think they know more than they do. I think they know more than they're letting on, and they know where they stole it from. It was a hunter jumper farm. That's what I think.
This is typical Craigslist, right? Because they started out with their big, like, elaborate lie. But at the end, they just keep typing. But don't they realize they can edit? They could proofread. But it just comes spilling out like you're talking to them. And they end up blowing the whole thing.
So you're saying the lesson we're learning from today's Craigslist ad is when you're lying, less is more? Is that the lesson today?
Less is more. And also, proofread. Or have a friend proofread. They should send it to us for proofreading.
Yeah, we can proofread. We can rewrite it for them. Kathleen, it's what we do every Friday. Yeah. Kathleen O'Grady sent the following one in. I love this one. Talk about short and sweet. See if I can read this exactly as it is written, because that's going to be important. Horse medical bag, $20, in Bradenton. Hey, Steph, it's Scope. It has in it Goss pads, iodine wipes, hey, Steph, it's Scope, and other stuff for horses, asking $20 or best offer. And yes, it spells out, hey, Steph, it's Scope. Do you think this was an autocorrect?
Like
Do you think this was an autocorrect that changed Stephoscope, which she couldn't spell, to hey, Steph, it's Scope? And then they left it that way.
Yes. Once again. We see the power of proofreading.
And there are Goss pads, GOS pads, and iodine wipes.
Goss pads. Yeah.
Yep. That's a good medical kit right
there. There you go.
Yep.
It's got everything you need.
It's got Steph in there.
Wipes.
Maybe Steph's a cowgirl and can brush my horses. That'd be good.
I think it's Steph's date bag, her little date bag. She has Scope, she has light wipes, ready to go. Okay, let's move on. That was really gross.
I know, but it was
okay,
funny.
Okay, this next one's from This next rose was Sorting Cows, 67.9. Free Jack Donkey. Rogers. Oh, I want this donkey. Free Jack Donkey. Color black. About 12 hands. 3 years old. Very gentle. Kid friendly. Does not lead. Need to pick him up today. Moving. New home. Backed out. Respects any fence, even with Nair on the other side. Has been with livestock. Hates dogs and coyotes. Call.
I love this.
I want that donkey.
Does not lead. Need to pick him up today. Well, if he doesn't lead, how are we getting him in the trailer?
You're going to have to just round him up. Open your trailer door and chase him in there.
It didn't say he respects people. It said he respects the fences and the mare on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, he's kid friendly, though. He'd be a good match for My Little Pony. He's 12 hands.
I know. I don't even need him. I want him. I want him for me. I need a donkey.
You do. You need to add to donkey because the donkey will keep away the coyotes who are eating your chickens. So I think it's perfect.
Yep. Me too.
We need to look up where Rogersville is and probably halfway across the country. You can have it shipped. All right.
No,
horse...
but it doesn't load.
Oh, that's true. Gemma sent the next one in. Love Gemma. Horse for sale, $200. Cute paint mare stands about 14 hands tall. This horse lounges really easy. To be honest, this is a horse that can be stubborn. Sometimes bluffs, bites, and has reared on me when she wants to be with the other horse in the pasture while trying to ride. She is not spookable. Stands for the farrier. If interested, call. Maybe we can work out a deal. Maybe trade for a couple of calves or cash. Well, if you're trading for cash, that's not really a trade, is it? That's...
No.
But, I love this.
And
it always
$200?
Starts... This horse lounges really easily, but yet it bluffs, bites, and rears. Who's going to respond to these? The fixer people.
I know.
Those girls who marry the deadbeat guys who end up being losers are the ones who adopt these horses right here. The ones that bite, rear, and kick.
Yep.
And guess what? They get bit.
Yeah, because they can save them.
That's right. And guess
they
what?
They won't rear and bite and kick me.
No, they won't do that. No, never. Just like the boyfriend didn't.
No.
All right.
Okay, the next one's from E-Rinking.
E-Rinking?
And it's from... That's E-Rinking. And it's from Facebook.
I think it's supposed to be Aaron King. Just saying.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, you're right. I read it. It's E-Rinking. Sorry, Aaron.
You must Craigslist.
I have definitely had
too much Craigslist.
Look, see, what a bad proofreader I am. Okay, add for Facebook. It's all capital, so I'm going to yell. Shovel, Mayor, Father and Mother, Appaloosa, thrill with beautiful blue eyes. 1M65. It is very impressive. Size level near the very sweet man born on 4/5/2008. Very well in Monty. Life with other horses. Pre-microchip. Vaccine. Worming. For more information, hesitation. Do not write me. Price, $1,800.
What the heck did you just say?
I know. Well, like, no wonder I messed up on the E-Rinking because I can't understand these nonsense words.
I don't even get what's an 1M65 about. It is very.
I think that's 1.65 meters. That's how tall it is.
Oh. Oh, and then size level near the very sweet man.
I don't know that. But the mayor is a father. And the mother's in Appaloosa.
I don't know. Maybe the mayor, the father mayor, is the very sweet man. I don't know. This is the most confusing ad we've had in a long time.
There are some gender issues going on in this ad.
This is the one. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think this is an English as a second language ad.
Yeah.
So maybe they wrote it in another language and then used the translator, Google Translator, and then it came up.
Could be, and it put all caps, too. All right, the next one is our thank you to, how did you say that person's name again? E-Rinking?
E-Rinking.
E-Rinking. Okay, E-Rinking. Thank you to E-Rinking for sending that in. Ashley Hopkins sent in the following one. It was our trailer of the week. And Jennifer said this one had to be the most confusing ad. It was just a day for confusing stories and ads. Two-horse trailer, new floor, plywood lining and lights, $1,450. And they posted this picture of this, what is a trailer that carries lawnmowers that they put sides on, and metal sides that your horse could put its foot through. And I think that the ad then goes on to say goat trailer, 6x8, $300. So the title is a two-horse trailer, and then it's a goat trailer in the ad, and it's very mixed up. It looks like there's actually a trailer behind this trailer, but I wouldn't even put my goat in this. I'd be afraid the goat would stick his head through one of those metal things on the side there and get it stuck.
You can put anything in there.
No, your lawnmower. That's what it's meant for, your lawnmower. It's really meant for a lawnmower.
Or hay.
And they want $1,450 for it. By the way, it doesn't even have a hitch that works. There's no cranky thing on the hitch. So it's sitting concrete block. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to pick it up, I guess, to get it on your hitch. Maybe it doesn't need one. Maybe it's so light it doesn't need one. That's it. That's what it is.
Maybe, but you don't want to put anything in there. Because look at the wheels. They're so tiny.
I just got a message. Glenn Forrester is listening, and he always posts me a message during really bad ads. And he said, the one on the left is in the middle, and the one on the right is on the left. Do you ever hear that?
No.
It's just a little saying when nothing makes sense.
Oh.
Sienna Sparks sent in the next one, Wendy.
Sienna Sparks. Okay, 5-year-old buckskin gelding. $3,000. Wow, this is a good one. From Polson. 15.5 hands tall. Very gentle. I have pushed cows on him, rode him in the Bob Marshall, and have packed him as well. I have rode him all over town. He makes a great designated driver as well. No DUIs. He has even been known to end up in a bar from time to time. I have let my 70-year-old uncle, who doesn't ride good, and this horse babysat him the whole time. First-time riders have rode him, and he was great with that, too. He's a great show horse and ranch horse. Thoroughbred quarter horse cross. Hey, Jennifer, you need this one. You can match Beaker with this one.
How did he end up in the bar? That's my question. They just rode him right into the bar?
These people ride him down to the bar. Then the 70-year-old uncle has to ride home.
Yep, that's right. Because the horse just knows the way.
Poor little guy. Poor little old guy. He's pretty good for 5 years old.
You know, we have had a bunch of stories on the show about guys who have gotten arrested for drunk riding on the way home from the bar. And they're always in Florida. They're always in Florida. And they're always near where you live in Sarasota. Just saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I didn't
out.
Know we could ride to the bar here.
You'd have done that a long time ago.
I would have said, open up the carriage and go.
Beth sent the following in, and this has to be one of the most expensive horses we've ever had. And it's kind of a poem. I'm going to try and read it like a poem. Mare for sale, $55,000. This is my mare for sale. She is a broken horse. She goes through water, over bridges, and through creeks, and loves to swim in ponds. She is half thoroughbred and half quarter horse. She has never offered to buck or rear at all. She has been used for pole bending and barrel racing and some trails. $55,000 for my horse.
We don't need to know how old she is, tall, color.
Nope, none of that matters. No. She doesn't buck
but
or rear
broken.
At all.
She's broken.
She's broken.
I want to know which section is broken and how much it's going to cost to fix it.
Yep. How many times have we seen that in ads? She is a broken horse. And you feel bad. You read it and go, oh, you know, is it physically or mentally? You know, you just feel sad for it. Broken.
You know, if this lady gets $55,000 for her horse, I hope she goes and takes some reading classes or writing classes so she can learn how to spell and do some punctuation.
Very poetic, though, I have to say.
It was poetic. Maybe she did it for the style.
Mel sent the following in, the last one of the day. You can read this one, Wendy. And Mel is from Australia, but read where the ad is from.
This is from the Chronicle Forums. So that's always a fun one, too. I have a wonderful registered 18-year-old Arabian mare named Twister.
Ooh, wait a minute. Stop right there. Hold it. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I was thinking it said 18-hand Arabian mare, and I was wondering how that happened. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that'd be big.
Yeah.
When I got her, I thought I would have more time to work with her. She gets scared easy. I do ride her, but not on the trail. I rescue horses, and they need to be able to earn their keep since food and care is so expensive. I can't focus on her and on the people that I am taking out on the trail at the same time. She is a great horse, but she just needs someone with a lot of time. I thought she had a home, but she would not get into the trailer. She does not trailer. Oh, no, sorry. She does trailer. I guess just not that day. But likes a large stock trailer.
If you want to come and buy her and take a chance whether you can get her in the trailer, that's up to you. Ridiculous. Oh, this woman hates this horse, doesn't she?
She hates her.
Just listen to
Twister. Twister is a bane of her rescuing existence.
I know. I can't focus on her. And you can hear how she was thinking, and if she had said it out loud, it would have come out like this. I can't focus on her and on the people I'm taking out on the trail at the same time. She's a great horse, but she needs to go.
If you're rescuing them, you're like trying to save them and give them a good home, not like rescue them and put them into slavery to work for you. And then if you get mad at it, just dump it on Craigslist. No?
That's just what it sounds like.
I mean, I understand horses have to work, but, you know, come on.
Oh, I got to post a picture here. Okay, we'll do that after. Now we have to decide. There were a lot of great ads today, and it's up to you guys. You and Jennifer can pick the winners. So first we have the Absorbine Ultra Shield Fly Spray Protection Package from Absorbine.com. While you're deciding, I'll just tell everybody we use that every day on our horses. Yes. Oh. So we need a winner for that.
Well, if my favorite was Breanne Long's, the world's most uncomfortable saddle.
Oh, yeah. That is a good ad. I really like that one, too. So why don't we give Breanne the Absorbine Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package? That's worth almost $70 with shipping. So we'll give that to Breanne. Thank you, Breanne, for submitting that. Then we have a pair of spur suaders in their choice of the English or Western style, Jennifer's favorite spur.
What do you think, Jennifer? You want to pick this one?
Let's see here. Ooh, this is tough. I'm thinking Kathleen O'Grady and her. Hey, Steph, it's Scope.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was Wendy's that's funniest line of the day. Dirty but funny. I liked it.
I can't help it.
So that
that's what you pay me for, Glenn.
That was who sent that in again? Kathleen O'Grady sent that in. So Kathleen, you win the spur suaders, and then Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. And we need one more winner. And I can tell you that I have two of the nastiest fire ant bites right now. One on my arm and one on my leg that I put Dr. Rose's on this morning. It's the only thing helped. These fire ants are awful. I'm just saying they're terrible. You itch for a week and it bleeds. Ugh. Dr. Rose's helps though. Who's winning it? Had to get that off my chest.
Who
do you vote for?
Oh, go ahead. I kind of like the donkey.
I'm kind of voting for E. Renking. Because I love
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
E. Renking.
That was E-Renking. Yeah. E-Renking. That was a good one. And it was totally nonsense. We couldn't understand it at all.
That was a really, really bad ad. So E-Renking wins. So Aaron King wins that Dr. Rose's Remedy. So you want to contact Jennifer, send her an email at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with your name and address and phone number, and she will get it over to the companies to get your product shipped out to you. And thank you to Absorbine's, Spur Suaders, and Dr. Rose's for donating the prizes for today. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Wendy, for joining us today. It's always fun to have you on Friday, and this was definitely a different one. You know, wild stories, wild ads, wild guests.
Yeah.
And of course,
thank you so much for having me.
You can catch Wendy every week on the Driving Radio Show. We had a good show this week. You can catch it at drivingradioshow.com. And of course, Jennifer has a show over at Horse Tip Daily that she hosts, puts out shows almost every day. And of course, you can find me on several of the shows on the Horse Radio Network. Just go to horseradionetwork.com. Don't forget to download the app. Go to the iPhone or the iOS or the Android stores on your phone and or your iPod and download our HRN. Just search for Horse Radio Network, our new application. A lot of people have, and people are listening to our shows on it. It's very nice to see the numbers coming in there. So if you haven't, it makes it simple and easy to do. So download that today. And one other note, I have a picture that I'm going to post on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page of Sammy Joe. Just posted it over on our driving radio show page, and I'll share it over here, of her driving her driving the water buffalo Wilson and feeding in the morning. And it has a picture of the wagon with the hay and everything. So we'll show you Wilson doing his daily duty, helping to feed everybody. So I'll post that on our Facebook page too. Love Wilson. It'd be fun. I don't even think there's any reins. I think Wilson just goes. Goes along. He doesn't have a bit.
I know. That's the fun about about driving oxen, because they're just in their yoke. And I always think, well, how do they steer them? I think sometimes they put like a little ring in their nose and you pull on their nose.
This one
but
doesn't?
Pretty much they have to know how to go.
Yeah. They mostly voice commands, from what I understand. They do those he's and y'alls and whatever, you know? So they do all those voice commands.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, we'll post that on our Facebook page. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. You too, Wendy. Have some fun this weekend.
All right, thanks. You too.
So glad about your horse. Doing better.
Thank you. I'm glad about your little guy, too.
Yes, got to go ground drive my little 200-pound weakling.
Have fun. Don't get dragged.